T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You guys were talking about comps a minute ago, and the thing that I keep sort of rattling around in my own head is what I think has been the 49ers' strategy about moving Garoppolo from the start, which is wait till he gets healthy and then wait for somebody to get hurt in training camp or in the first week of the season. Does that, in your mind, jack up the comp to the point where what looks like a conditional fifth-round pick suddenly becomes a third because of somebody else's desperation?
Hell of a point, Ray. It's like, and Damon, getting back to your point about the home and the comp, and you moved in. Jimmy Garoppolo's like getting healthy, and if you're holding out with patience, he may be the new built-in swimming pool you put in the backyard, right? You're looking back there and you say, we got it. Let's put that in and raise this value a little bit by being patient, because while I hate to say it, it's just the reality of the game. One of two things will happen. Somebody misses 3 or 4 games, and we know, ask Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Brees, when Drew got hurt for 5 games, and I think Teddy went 5-0, what that means to teams that are on the cusp but believe they're a playoff team. Or let's just say, for instance, I don't want it to happen, but let's say Herbert was out 3 weeks, or Carr. Or I'm just throwing out names that you think right. You're a playoff-caliber team, or Russ Wilson. And you say, damn, training camp, the elbow, it's 4 weeks, or it's a month and a half. Jimmy buys you time to steal a couple wins and be a great insurance policy. So, Ray, yeah, well, you take a risk if you're the 49ers, but what's the big risk for it? The big risk is, okay, instead of a fifth-rounder, if we wait, we get a sixth-rounder, nobody gets hurt. So somebody may have a poor performance, and somebody may get banged up. So, yeah, I think that's the, should we build the swimming pool in the backyard, or should we wait 6 months? And then that raises the comp when you put a pool in your backyard in Texas or Arizona or California. So I make your great point, Ray. If I'm not, listen, I'm not forced to give him away. Now, salary-wise, I know, but listen, what's it against a cap? A couple million bucks of bonus money or whatever it is for Jimmy? So a dead cap money? So, listen, for me, it's an insurance policy for yourself, maybe, and to protect it in case something happened to Lance while you're going through camp. And maybe somebody looks and says, man, we thought this quarterback was going to be better. We need some help. Let's go to a guy who's been in a Super Bowl. So if I don't get something even close to being a little bit better comp, Ray, I'm not so sure I wouldn't hold out and wait for that person to call and say, all right, dude, we'll give you a fourth and a conditional sixth or fifth because, you know what, we're in desperate need. He knows this system. Let's roll with it. I don't think that's a bad idea. And the 49ers, listen, Jimmy's the bonus for them of getting a pick right now. Jimmy's, quite frankly, with Trey Lance, he's not a necessity for them. So it's kind of good just to have him around. And what's the rush other than you want him out of the building and hope that Trey Lance knows it's his job now and he can focus whether Jimmy's there or not?
It's literally like I emailed you the script of this conversation because you just brought up my exact question for you. As a man who's lived his life in quarterback rooms, how realistic can Kyle Shanahan expect to have a healthy quarterback room with a young player trying to take over a team that has an established leader in Garoppolo if he were still to be around? I mean, it feels like, look, the one thing that Jimmy is above all else is a professional.
Right.
And I would not expect that to change, but the man is also human, and teams gravitate towards guys who have done it faster than they gravitate towards potential that might be able to do it. How unhealthy, or would you even say there's a chance it would be healthy, would it be for Trey Lance to have Jimmy Garoppolo in his quarterback room?
Damon, this is such a great question and point by you. Here's the deal, and you hit it first with professional. I think that we know the DNA of Jimmy Garoppolo, and you're right, he's human and wants to compete and have a chance. But I think if we would have seen, if we were going to see Jimmy be a bad teammate or a bad guy in the room, I think we'd already seen it. I mean, he's been through plenty of the questions that get him out, bid Jimmy's been hurt, oh, he couldn't beat, you know, we had a win in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl. I mean, what other adversity is he going to go through that wouldn't, I mean, if he was going to sound off, wouldn't he have already? And I think he's established the fact that, and you hit it, just because you get paid doesn't make you a professional. Okay, they're pros, but getting paid doesn't automatically make, yeah, he's a professional. I think Jimmy's past that. Now the frustration, but I don't think he'd air the dirty laundry. I think he'd be the guy that would go in and say, listen, cut me then. Let me move on. I don't think he'd try to step on Trey Lance's toes. Now, yes, and it is. I think a lot of times a good quarterback room depends on the character of the individual and how the coach handles it. I think Jimmy'd be great, and that's why I mentioned about Cleveland. While Baker's fiery and maybe a little more controversial, not a little bit more, a lot more, and the questions of leadership at times, Jimmy would go right in there, and he's not going to worry about Watson. He's going to keep things steady for them. But in San Francisco, and Damon, about this, here's the way I feel, and I'm being serious about this, is it. If I'm Kyle, I would have, at this point, we all know who the quarterback is, right? And Trey should too. They traded guys to move up to get him, building the confidence. And even if Jimmy's there, let's just say he is, it would behoove Kyle and the organization to say, Trey Lance is our quarterback. Jimmy's in the room. We love competition. But Trey Lance, it's okay. If Jimmy's feelings get hurt, he's a big boy. He's been in the league long enough. And the other side of it, you shouldn't have drafted Trey Lance if you thought he was going to be, his feelings were going to get hurt because a veteran that had been to a Super Bowl was in the room. That's why I've always believed that I'm not in the feel-good business. We're turning the team over to you. Go do your things. We believe you have special qualities as a physical specimen and special mental and emotional qualities, meaning Trey Lance. So it's okay to step out in front and say, Trey's our quarterback. We got a great policy, and Jimmy here, an insurance guy who's been a good player for us, Trey's our quarterback. And if Trey's who we think he is, having a guy that's in the room that's got some experience and can create competition if something goes down or he struggles, if he struggles and loses his confidence, you know what, Ray and Damon? He wasn't the guy you drafted that you thought you drafted anyway. So the mental and emotional toughness to me is every bit as important as the physical skill, and I think Trey Lance has it, so the difference is you wouldn't see Jimmy going out sneaking around, doing interviews and bad-mouthing Trey behind his back. A lot of it has to do with that character, with his good DNA, as opposed to some other cats that the second a guy throws an incompletion, you see him warming up on the sidelines just to bother the starting quarterback. I think we're beyond the being in the feel-good and hurt-feelings business. Trey Lance was a high pick that they gave up a lot to get. I think Trey Lance needs to recognize it's my team. There's no reason to be sensitive towards Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't think Jimmy disrupts it, and I think the team likes having him around. Don't give him away, but you may have to give him away for less than you wanted.
Sean, I know you got to get running, but I cannot let you go without just saying the words USC in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know, Damon, I when it first came down, you know, I know the land football, college football with name, image, and likeness and all the transfer portal and this, it's never going to look the same to us. We don't even recognize it. That's not a bad thing. And the first thing that got me, the sentimental part of, man, we play Ohio State or Michigan, that's in January at the Rose Bowl, old school Pac-10 and now Pac-12. So the sentimental part got me a little bit. Yeah, and it still does. There's still that
sure.
A player there. Of course it does. And then the geography, it's a little head-scratching, but listen, things evolve. We ask our players to evolve and coaches to evolve and broadcasters to evolve. The game's evolving, and it's not. We're watching pro football right before our eyes, just a second league of it. So the other side is, but when I thought about it and stepped back, the competition's better. I hate to admit it for my Pac-12, playing Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, Michigan State every week, and this is no disrespect to Oregon State or at all because they beat my Trojans. Trust me, I know that. But a 10 o'clock game on the East Coast in Corvallis or a noon game at the Horseshoe in October, you tell me as a Trojan fan or a Trojan player who you want to play. So to me, competition, I'm going to get over the emotional and the sentimental part of it and realize that times change and I'm going to adjust with them. I'll miss it a little bit. But I can tell you in October, I don't have to wait till January Rose Bowl old school to watch those two teams play. I get to watch day in and day out. It's going to test us, and we're going to find out how tough we are, not only in the Pac-12, because the Big Ten's better, and we're going to find out just how tough USC for my guys are to go in there and play two or three games in November or October when it's a little inclement. I can't wait. I like the competition. I think it's better than the Pac-12. I do, and I'm okay. I'm all in for it.
Bring your mittens, brother. Thank you so very much.
You guys are the best, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sean Salisbury, you're on 95.7 The Game. He didn't mention Indiana not once. He's not worried about that game, Ray.
I'm stupefied.
I'm disappointed. But look, it's a fascinating landscape. And to me, the Niners situation with Garoppolo, you know, the more things change, the more they remain the same. What I keep coming back to is Jimmy Garoppolo's already said goodbye. I mean, it was a definitive, thanks for the memories, take care.
See ya.
Exactly. Thank you, Jimmy. I wonder how much he can be sold on being in that quarterback room with all the professionalism in the world. At some point, doesn't he also want to move on? And I know that the 49ers really don't need to care about that, but they've also indicated, or at least I feel like they want to do right by him. Maybe being the backup to Trey Lance in a weird way is doing right by him because it gives him more time to rehab and the mystery of the unknown sorts to take over the story more than him being thrust into a new offense late in an offseason or early in a preseason where he's got to learn how to do everything like basically overnight and come save the year now, Jimmy G.
Yeah, I just don't know that in the cynical world of professional football that Kyle Shanahan's going to look at it that way, that he's basically going to say, look, it's going to be easier for us to trade you to a place you want to go if you don't pitch a fit and if you don't mope. You know, just be the guy you've been, and it'll all take care of itself. I know that he might have to live with disappointment, but he's lived with that before. You know, I mean, he came here and he delivered more goods than he was ever appreciated for. So he knows that part of the deal. I just think that, you know, this, you know, as much as we've talked about the business of college football, the NFL is, it's more business than business is. And Kyle Shanahan is not going to view him as owing Jimmy Garoppolo anything. This is the situation. It's different from last year's situation. And deal with it. You know, I just don't know that Kyle Shanahan is going to spend a lot of time smoothing over his feelings or worrying about them.
No, I don't think he will really either. I mean, they're not spending much time smoothing over the feelings or worrying about Deebo Samuel, who at this point is much more important to the 49ers' immediate future and even distant future, you would think, than the backup quarterback, even one who's been to an NFC title game, two of them, won one and went to a Super Bowl. So it's odd how the Niners have operated around this, and they are really trying to thread a needle that if this next year begins with nothing but good feelings and good tidings and everybody on the same page, it feels like it's going to be a little bit of a mini miracle at this point.
Well, I think there are going to be some people in our business who want to, you know, apply the electrodes to this on a daily basis. But I think we've seen in the 49ers an organization that doesn't react to the noise. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo has not been a guy who's reacted to the noise either. I mean, will this test them more in that way? Sure, but It's gonna be a bother to us more than it is them, ultimately, because it's gonna take one conversation in Shanahan's office to basically say, "You've been a good soldier before. Be a good soldier now. It'll be easier to move you when the time comes to move you."
How hard do you think that conversation is to have with Kevin Durant?
That's one of the most fascinating questions that has been asked, because Durant's leverage here is that he's no longer a kingmaker. If he gets traded to a new team, he's not a kingmaker anymore. If he stays in Brooklyn, even after he's asked for a trade, then he's kind of not the kingmaker there anymore either. You know, his big chance at being a kingmaker, you know, ended when Kyrie Irving went goofy. You know, I mean, if you want to term it that way, I just, you know, this could have worked in Brooklyn. But Kyrie Irving was Kyrie Irving to the end.
Well, and what's really odd is that not only did he swing and a miss on Kyrie, and maybe that was Kyrie's fault, but the exact same thing then happened with James Harden. You know, James Harden got around Kevin Durant, and it was basically the two of them. I mean, because Kyrie's out of the picture for the most part. And James Harden couldn't get away from Kevin Durant any faster than if he had booked passage on, you know, the Metro East and took it out of town himself.
Well, was that Durant or was that Irving, though? Because I think
Look at it this way. Even if it is Irving, isn't Durant supposed to be enough of a magnet to continue to believe in? You know,
I don't know. And I'll tell you why I don't know. Because James Harden he's at the tail end of his career now. I mean, he's played enough years, and the end of his career is a lot sooner than the view in the rearview mirror. And he might have decided that this was his last best shot at getting a ring, and he watched Irving basically torpedo it. And he just says, why am I going to be here for something that's not going to work? Get me out of here now.
Kevin Durant is officially, I believe, he's wearing the crown of the most confused athlete in the world. He's the most confusing topic in the world of sports. He really is. You know, he's a guy who's definitely not happy unless he's miserable. That's just his personality. And he is way too deep into his life, I think, to be expected to change his personality at this point. I think he's desperate to find the love that he never felt. And the titles, although they packed his trophy case, did not satisfy him in a way that returned or reflected that love that he was looking for when he won them with the Warriors, because people wanted to, give more credit to the players who started with the Warriors. And maybe that's true. It's certainly how he felt. But what's crazy is in 90 games played for the Brooklyn Nets now, even if he stays, even if there is no trade, he has sabotaged that love or loyalty from happening to him in Brooklyn in ways that I don't think he really chose to calculate. You know, just ending up in Brooklyn in the first place was the wrong choice. But to now have told, you know, the borough of Brooklyn, I can do better without you. And even though you invested every single bit of your future into the decisions that I insisted upon you making, I'm still going to walk away. Like, Kevin Durant is a world-class me-first guy whose loyalty never lasts any longer than a TikTok video. No matter how good things are going or bad things are going, like, he's not loyal to the result either way. He is right now, without playing another, like, Kevin Durant could never play another basketball game ever in his life. He is undebatably one of the 20 greatest basketball players of all time. And just from a scoring standpoint, he is one of the 10 greatest bucket getters. And that might even be giving him the short end of the stick. He's probably top 8, top 6. Put him in the top 5 if you want to, just in terms of bucket getting. No one gets a bucket quite like Kevin Durant. He also says he doesn't want to be a leader, but he put himself in a position to where he's leading the entire show. You know, he's picking the coach. He's picking his teammates. He's making trades. He's moving future assets to, you know, because it's win right now time. Win right now time. And he's ready to walk away from win right now time the minute it became you ain't going to win right now time. He says that he now wants, a system Well, he rejected the greatest system that the NBA's had since the Tex Winter's triangle. He said that he valued efficiency above all else, yet he left the most efficient culture that the NBA has really ever known in the Golden State Warriors. He wanted to do it his way, but the minute he got it all his way, he backs away from it. Like, one of the greatest basketball players in the world is devoid of worldwide basketball respect. And that is a staggering place for a player of this greatness to have reached.
No,
I don't think we've ever had a ratio of greatness to a level of disloyalty that Kevin Durant seems to have.
It's not disloyalty as much as I think it is disillusionment. And it's not disillusionment with the Brooklyn Nets necessarily, but disillusionment with the idea that he's only going to get to be a kingmaker once, and the one time he was, it was a disaster.
Right, he lost the entire kingdom.
Well, yeah, and again, I still think that the key here is not Durant, but Irving. Because Irving is the one who opted out when everybody else was opting in. And he was the guy who, you know, got caught in the switches when the city of New York said, well, you can't do anything, you know, within the confines of the state. And he says, well, then I guess I'm not going to do anything. I mean, I think Durant, probably at his core, feels somewhat abandoned more than I think he's necessarily culpable.
But all
I would hang this
people.
I would hang this on circumstances and Irving more than I would Durant. Durant made miscalculations, of which the most telling one was Irving, but I don't think it's reasonable to assume that anybody could have foreseen the ways in which Irving would torpedo this.
Which is nuts, because everything about Kyrie Irving screamed, he's a headache.
Yeah.
Everything. Kyrie was a headache in Cleveland, who couldn't get along with LeBron. Kyrie was a headache of the first degree in Boston, where he couldn't get along with anyone, walking around burning sage before a game.
But this is a different kind of headache. That's the thing. I think Kevin Durant thought, I can deal with that. But absenteeism for a guy who's a gym rat like Durant is, was beyond his comprehension. And I think it was beyond the comprehension of the Nets, ultimately.
Well, and here's where messaging matters. The fact that the only projection Kevin Durant ever offered up about the whole Kyrie isn't playing basketball this year because he won't get vaccinated was just acquiescing, and, you know, that's his choice, and I really respect it. I mean, it's, you know, you can't pretend that it's no big deal if you're going to make it the centerpiece of every deal you're considering going forward. And I'll tell you that the absence of Kyrie Irving now really doesn't exist any longer, because he's going to be playing for the Brooklyn Nets next year. So you got Kyrie next year. And he's going to be playing. He's going to be playing home games. So you're right back to where you started, if that's where you want to be, Kevin.
And
you got Ben Simmons.
Unless Irving forces the trade that people still think he's trying to force. I mean, all he really did was commit to getting paid. He didn't really commit to, man, I really want to be in Brooklyn. No matter what he said, if he gets traded to the Lakers next year, he will sprint to L.A. gleefully. I don't know that he necessarily wants to stay in Brooklyn either. And that's another thing about this that is so hilariously maddening. It's that you don't know what the motivations are for any of these guys. You know, because whatever they say can be, you know, taken with a metric ton of salt. And that includes Nets management. I mean, nobody is copping to anything. Meanwhile, they're copying to everything, and every crackpot theory that you can imagine has already been advanced by one pundit or another. You know, it's the amount of what we don't know multiplied by the amount of things they can't control that makes this so delightful. I mean, the Nets don't know if they're going to get a package they like. You know, they don't know if they're just going to have to trade these guys out of desperation. You know, they don't know if Kyrie's going to want to play. You know, that's still not proven. All Kyrie Irving did was say, nope, I want to get paid. That's what he has agreed to.
Somebody on the text line says, Damon, you've been throwing shade at KD for years. This trade request only gives you more ammunition to take your pot shots. No. This trade request is proof positive that I've been right this whole time. It's not an opportunity for me to take pot shots. Pot shots suggest that what I'm saying is undeserved. My criticisms of Kevin Durant are well-founded. Well-founded. It's playing out in real time. Your least favorite talk show host was right. I wasn't wrong about a thing I said. All my instincts were bullseye. Bullseye. Absolute bull. I mean, you want to talk about hitting threes from way downtown, your boy is soaking wet. Everything I told you about this guy has come to fruition. And let me tell you this, too. Having said all that, he's still one of the greatest basketball players I've ever seen with my own two eyes. And if the Warriors were to flip a bevy of young, talented players that they have right now to get back into the uncomfortable bed of Kevin Durant, it would kind of suck and also guarantee two more championships. Guaranteed. Not even hard to win, kind of boring, not romantic championships. Guaranteed. So there you go. There you go. Like, think about it. You know who Kevin Durant really is? He's the walking embodiment of the LIV Golf Tour. Are you willing to put up with all the background and all the unsavory elements for the guaranteed big money payoff? If your answer is yes, you might want to be back in the Kevin Durant business. I see the merits of it. I see the demerits of it. It's fascinating. Like I said, he is simply the most confusing topic in the world of sports. And I really think that his agent is a disaster. And Rich Kleiman has one client to manage. And I'm sure that Rich Kleiman has done an awful lot to put Kevin Durant into a very wealthy stratosphere with some of the business decisions, the off-court business decisions. Kevin Durant has invested in Postmates and Coinbase and Robinhood and Acorns. He's made a lot of really good business decisions with Kevin Durant's money. 35 Ventures Media, I got to tell you, I'm not sure what it's done or what it's worth or what it's about to do next. I can tell you that Draymond Green's podcast is already a much bigger player in the world of sports media, and Draymond does that with zero overhead. He rents nothing. I'm sure he bought a microphone and hired a producer, and he's got a bigger media empire now than Kevin Durant does with a media company that I'm sure is renting out three floors of a New York City skyscraper. But Kevin Durant has surrounded himself with one yes man. And Rich Kleiman might do really well for Kevin Durant downstream in all the other avenues of business. The only business that really matters is the business of basketball. And Kevin Durant should have been slapped by his agent the day he was like, I wanted to be traded out. I'm leaving Golden State. Rich Kleiman should have sat him down and said, you are ridiculous. You're ridiculous to leave Golden State. You ain't cut out for the job that is required of someone who is stepping away from this. You don't got it in you, son. That's what he should have told him. That's what someone who would have really cared about him, not some bootlicking yes man, would have told him. Kevin, I know what a leader is. You're a follower. The only thing you lead is scoring in a basketball game. You ain't a leader at all. You are a sullen, pouty, daubered down, listening to The Cure emo kid in a 7'1" basketball superstar's body. That's who you are.
Don't be bad-mouthing The Cure.
I love The Cure. Robert Smith, man's a freaking genius. But it's not for happy people, Ray. You know what I mean?
I rest my case. Now, I'm not equipped to psychoanalyze Kevin Durant. I don't want to. All I know is...
But that's the only thing left to do, because we know about him as a basketball player.
No,
the guy that makes the basketball player tick is why we're here.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't know that Brooklyn was, you know, an ideal situation at any point, but it turned out infinitely worse than anybody could have imagined. And that's and if you want to assign culpability to Durant, it's in the choice he made of going with his very good friend Kyrie Irving. And that's the greatest fault that happens when players decide to operate basketball franchises or franchises in general. I mean, of which basketball is probably the only one where players have that kind of freedom. It's because they always fall back on friendship first. You know, they don't have it in them to make the hard, cruel call that a general manager has to make on an almost weekly basis. And that's why the player empowerment movement, as noble as it is, fails here. Because the player empowerment movement is working better in Golden State, where if you've put your time in, you get to walk into the general manager's office and talk to the actual general manager, rather than be the general manager with your office in a locker room. And I think that's probably the miscalculation here, is that Kevin Durant didn't look at Stephen Curry as the model for when he decided to branch out on his own, but LeBron James. And before that, Michael Jordan. Because ultimately, there was a general manager who made roster decisions that made more sense, ultimately, than what the player would have done.
It's just the most confusing, fascinating topic. And again, he keeps on popping up on my timeline. I'm not seeking him out. Like, it's just, I really do think that maybe more than anything else, that the Golden State Warriors title this year absolutely broke the man. And he's just like, I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to do. Someone says the reason you hated Irving is because he said no to a vaccine. That's it. Everything else is just noise. No, the reason I hated Irving is the same reason why, you know, we were all over Andrew Wiggins. This ain't just about you. This ain't an individual sport. This is a team sport. You want to be a part of a team, you make decisions that are best for the team. The best decision for the team and for him, if he wanted to rely on, you know, science, which is asking a lot from a guy who insisted that the earth was flat, is, you know, dude, he's a nincompoop. I mean, the problem with Kyrie Irving is that he's a nincompoop who truly believes he's smarter than anyone he will actually meet. And that's a level of dangerous stupid that gets you Kyrie Irving.
Well, I think it's his contempt for his audience. I you know, because he sort of, you know, deals with the media as though they are beneath him. And maybe they are, but that's not where you compare yourself.
They're not maybe beneath him. They're not beneath him at all. Not a single speck of a notch. Kyrie Irving isn't a better person because he plays in the NBA than anyone who covers the NBA.
I'm not making that argument. I'm saying that that's the worldview he's got. And it's, if you really believe you're the smartest guy in the room, then it's your job to go to a bigger room. Because the locker room isn't the place where you're going to measure your IQ. You know, it's the boardroom, or it's the, you know, it's the Sloan conference, or, you know, a TED talk. If you want to show how smart you are, you know, outwitting a guy who works a 15,000 subscription newspaper, that isn't the standard. You know, it's more that he's just got contempt for people who like to talk about him. And you know, there's nothing fulfilling about that. It ultimately ends up as empty calories. And the best people for dealing with the media either play along or just ignore them entirely and never talk to them.
888-957-9570, the number. Eric in Millbrae. Oh, Eric, patience will do you good. I'm sorry you didn't have just a little bit more.
Maybe text line says, maybe something came up.
Maybe he got really busy. Maybe a really good Cure song came on.
And what, he drove into a tree?
I was about to say, a forest? What's the name of that Cure song? Is it a forest? Is it just a forest? It's such a good song. Cure's got a lot of good songs. I'm not talking about that Disintegration stuff. I'm talking about old Cure. Like, cutting yourself Cure.
Well, if you wanted cutting yourself music, Joy Division was basically that's.
Oh well, Joy Division. The only thing about Joyful was in the name. That's where it ended, right there. No more joy.
I'm just saying, if that's where you want to go, that's it.
Is that where you go? Do you just go home and listen to Joy Division through a pair of headphones all night while you watch, you know, track MLB home plate umpire assignments?
No, if I'm going to listen to a song, I'll probably listen to like some old ska.
Okay.
Something more upbeat. Sorry that I can't, you know, reinforce your beliefs in me, but that's where I am.
Well, Fishbone?
No. Real things.
Okay.
Skatalites.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Fishbone. Rancid was better at that anyway.
Is Rancid ska or punk?
They're sort of a combo.
Yeah, yeah. I never had Rancid on my ska Rolodex. Anyway, can I get to two baseball stories that are absolutely worth mentioning real fast that don't have anything to do with how bad the Giants are or just, you know, what the A's are doing?
Knock yourself out.
Did you see that Rob Manfred said that robot umps could be coming as soon as 2024? He did an interview with Don Vanatta Jr. On ESPN. And he basically says that he plans to introduce robo-umps in some form or fashion in the 2024 season. What do you think that looks like? And outside of controlling a strike zone, what I would like is a robot that just controlled how quickly a pitch needed to be delivered. More than anything, what baseball needs is a robot to make a pitcher work faster, not the dead-on, balls-out, accurate relaying of a proper, perfect strike zone at all times.
No, you're right, but they'll screw it up and they'll do what the other sports have done to help ruin their sports, which is make everybody sit in the television booth. We want this to look more like what people at home are watching. You know, it's in their minds less expensive and bothersome than actually training officials. I mean, are more people happy with the way the NBA is officiated now than they were 20 years ago?
Definitely not.
Okay, then what's that tell you? It tells you that replay hasn't served the purpose that it was designed to, and that training of officials is worse than it's ever been.
The other story is just, you want to talk about why is America going in the wrong direction? Here's everything you need to know about America going in the wrong direction right here. Roger Owens is one of the single greatest baseball vendors of all time. He works at Dodger Stadium. He is known as the Peanut Man. He will throw a bag of peanuts to you from 35 yards away, and it will hit you in your hand with a level of Joe Montana accuracy that is staggering. It is staggering how good this guy is at throwing a bag of peanuts, and he has now been banned from his traditional peanut bag tossing routine because officials have deemed the practice too dangerous. even though no one has ever been mortally wounded or even conversationally wounded by a bag of peanuts, this now has to stop because of lawyers. Levy Restaurants, which is in charge of concessions at the stadium, believes that Owens Peanuts pitching is a safety concern for spectators. What 35-year-old lawyer douchebag made that decision? And I want him to be killed with bags of peanuts. Are you kidding me? This is a 70-year-old man who knows more about tossing peanuts around a baseball stadium than Sandy Koufax knew about throwing baseballs to home plate, for goodness sakes. What the hell's wrong with the world, Ray?
The magic of HR. The person who runs HR for any baseball team or for any sports franchise is probably the second most powerful person in the organization. And the person in HR's main job is to look for ways that the company can get sued and try to avoid it.
It's why bald dudes have to walk over and hand a baseball to a little kid instead of just tossing it up in the stands.
Yeah.
Who's ever been hurt by a baseball thrown by a 78-year-old man on an underhanded toss three rows into the stand? I mean, it just...
That's not the point. The HR guy is to imagine the worst-case scenario and figure out how to make sure that can't happen on his watch.
Cannot stand them. What we got, though, for you is a what-if Wednesday. What if we can make the world a little bit better? Let's find out what questions Lucas has lovingly prepared.
Oh, I'm not signing up for making the world better. Kiss my ass.
There you go, Rancid. There you go. That's the kind of punky attitude we're looking for.
Here to help.
Brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. Getting a booster shot can be like charging a cell phone. A booster is given to enhance or restore protection after a primary series of vaccinations. I'm certainly glad that my wife and I got our booster shots because we have COVID and we're fine. We're fine. And oh, by the way, it doesn't affect kids, really. My kids, both of them are testing positive for COVID. You wouldn't know either one of them has even got a runny nose. It's really weird. Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback to California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday?
Well, I would tell you it's time for Lucas to say hello. What do you got for us today, Lucas?
I have such a good one that I'm going to go second with. I'm actually kind of annoyed that I didn't give it to you guys before the show, and we could have done a whole 3 hours on it. So I'm going to give that to you second. That's what we call a tease in the business. So, but first, we're going to start with the Giants. They're a lot closer to last place in the NL West than they are to first. What if they finish the year in the basement of the division this year?
Dead last behind the Rockies?
That's right.
The amount of trust me, I know what I'm doing that Farhan has easily sold to us gets impossible to sell going forward without some real major league hitters in the lineup. Full stop.
We sold Farhan to ourselves, and we thought that last year proved that he was a genius. And in fact, what happens in sports is that today's brilliant idea turns out to be next year's blip. I mean, you know, we anoint geniuses too quickly. And that's on us as much as it is on him. That said, he'll take a beating for it because you don't go from 107 to 75 and not take a beating. The same way that he went from 75 to 107 and became a genius. It's for him, it's the price of doing business. If you finish behind the Rockies, you deserve all the grief you get.
Yeah. And look, the attendance would so suffer that it'd just be bad. It would be really bad. I would like to think that Farhan is good enough and smart enough to not have that happen. Yet at the same time, it's also sports, and baseball is weird. And what is there one year does disappear the next. So, you know, he's clearly got the job. He's not going anywhere, but a huge about face in terms of their plans to do war with the rest of the National League West would I would hope change. So there you go. All right, you saved the best for last, Lucas. What is it?
I had a Nathan's hot dog eating contest question, but we'll do that next year. What if the Warriors...
Here's my answer. Who cares? It's just, it's the most disgusting thing in the world. I don't care. Joey Chestnut's a really nice guy. Conversation's over.
What if the Warriors lost to the Celtics in the finals? Would it be a repeat of 2016 and they would be more aggressive in going after Kevin Durant? In other words, do you think their pursuit of KD this offseason will be different if the Warriors lost in the finals?
Not really, because we know who KD is and what he does, and past results don't dictate who he is and what he does. It might make them a little bit more aggressive, but I also think that they would be looking at this and saying, hey, just look at how close we came in a year where everything showed up earlier and faster than we thought it would again. So I don't think it would really change the way that they operate dramatically at all. No.
Maybe they do a smaller deal with fewer young people involved for a difference maker that isn't of Durant's quality. But I don't think it creates a need for Durant again, because I think ultimately they view it as having done that dance. And if they lose to Boston, you know, those are different circumstances that would require a different response.
What do you think of the mighty, mighty Bostones?
Not bad. Not bad.
Okay. I like it. Do you like their friend who's the actual Bostone, who plays no instrument, sings no songs, just dances?
That almost sounds like the guy from Bad Manners.
I don't know Bad Manners.
Oh, ska band from the late 70s in England. Their big hit was Lip Up Fatty.
I'm going to go upstairs and listen to it on the Sonos. Thank you, Ray.
That's
what I'm going to be doing.
Play it loud so that your wife will be as annoyed as you will be.
Lip up, fatty.
Yep.
That really, you know, it sounds like like an anthem to put a dip in, which I don't do anymore.
No, it literally has nothing to do with an actual lip.
Okay.
But if you want to do a dip, that's entirely up to you.
I am now dip free. You're welcome, America.
Well, you still got me, so you're not completely dip free.
That's my drip, not my dip. Thank you, Dre. Thank you very much. I love a good music recommends. We got one from Ray. Thank you so much to Spencer Hall and Sean Salisbury for joining us earlier today. For all of you tuning in, really do appreciate that. Thank you, Grandy and Lucas, back in the studio. And we will return tomorrow. Until then, please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.